It's okay. It's okay. He won't hurt us. He would have killed me by now. Okay? I think it's because we're not actually part of the movie. He doesn't really know what to do with us.
Hello and welcome to another movie motherfucking podcast. My name is Oscar, and with me today is...
Oh, Luke?
Yeah. And?
Ralph.
That's right. This is episode 104. That's right, 104. Four after the 100th one. In today's episode, I chose the movies, and I went with Shudder.com, kind of like to pick horror movies here, as I have a horror motif going on here. And the movies are going to be Monster Party, which came out pretty recently, 2018, I believe. And then we're going to delve into a slightly older movie, Noroi, I think. The Curse is a Japanese horror movie, mockumentary style, so check that out, guys. And last but not least, we're in continuance to our Sight and Sound Marathon for Best of the Decade list. We're going to be doing 1931's Fritz Lang's M. All right. You can find our website at otherpodcast.com. And over there, sorry, this is my head. And over there, you can find all of our previous marathons. Not to mention, this is our fifth installment or sixth? We did The Third Man, Casablanca, Night of the Hunter, Apocalypse Now, City Lights, and now M, and we are continuing that next time too. So we're in the middle of this. Actually, we're towards the end of it now, actually. But still, we're still enrolling with it. So check out our previous entries if you haven't listened to those episodes yet. It's over there at otherpodcast.com. Not to mention every other podcaster catcher of your choice, that whatever you're listening to us on. One more thing is feedback can be sent to podmoviecast@gmail.com. In which you can submit any ideas for future marathons or for movies in this trying times of no theater going experiences right now. So we are looking for movies and outlets differently these days. So any suggestions or like, oh man, this is a great idea. Great movie no one's talking about. So tell us about it at podmoviecast@gmail.com. Now, Luke, how are you? How have you been over the last 2 weeks? You know what? Before you answer that question, I just thought of this now. I'm just going to preface by saying that it's really insane times. Every week, something changes. I'm referencing, of course, to the massive amount of protesting going on in this country. And apparently, it's hitting other countries lately in general because of all the dismay and disillusionment and obviously the fucked upness. I just want to mention that it's really sucks, and I never know what to say about these kind of things. And I'm not saying that you guys have to have stories about it or anything like that. It's not like I've been out there in the streets or anything like that. But just to mention that it's going on right now, totally sucks. And if you are listening to us, we thank you for, you know, joining into a lighter venue of entertainment in this insanity. So without further ado, Luke, how's your life been so far?
It's pretty going back to normal. I mean, aside from having a police scanner on all day to hear what's going on in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Anything interesting? Not to be gossipy about it.
Just a couple break-in attempts. Some people getting busted, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy times.
For those maybe listening for the first time or don't remember, we live in Chicago. So it's not exactly, it's not, you know, it's not, what's that one? Minneapolis. Exactly, but it's not Minneapolis either. So. But we live in like the northwest side. It's not like that far off. Anything else, Luke, you want to mention?
It's fucking hot today.
It is hot today, isn't it? Last 2-3 days have been surprisingly chilly, but not really surprising because it's Chicago weather and nothing surprises me anymore. But it's hot today. You guys went out?
Oh, yeah.
Anyone went out?
Nope. Oh, yeah. I mean, I did a Costco run, but needed gas.
No, I meant like enjoyed the weather, but I guess not.
Yeah,
no,
I walked to Dunkin' Donuts to get a nice coffee because it was hot.
Did the walk make you hotter for the iced coffee, or did you want the iced coffee before?
The walk back sucked, but the walk there was good.
Okay. So, Ralph, segue. How are you?
I'm good. Very similar to Luke in the aspect of everything kind of coming back to normal-ish with just work with a steadier schedule at work and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And overall stuff like that. We're about to kick into full summer gear now. Last week of school for my son, and or that I have to worry about. I'm still gonna teach him shit throughout the summer. It's not like I don't. It's not like I'm liberated from it. He still has to learn, but
He still has to
live. There won't be a structure. It can be whenever I want, you know.
Yeah.
And it won't be. It'll be whatever I want. So that's the.
So once a month.
Right. I didn't say that.
Right, right. Like a solstice. Every time there's a full moon, you teach him something.
Pretty much.
That's how I would do it.
Nope, didn't say that.
Today I'm going to teach you how to snipe in Call of Duty.
Right, right. He has been like more interested in gaming. He's been playing a lot of Spyro.
Yeah, I've been seeing him play Spyro.
And he's good. Like at first he really sucked, and I had to teach him how to jump. And jump and glide and do things. And he switches. This is like his ADD. Kicking in. I don't think he has ADD, or at least not diagnosed. He just switches like from game, because there's three of them. He'll be like, I don't want to play this game anymore. Boom, go to the other one. It's still Spyro. Don't get me wrong. It's just like, I'm done playing this version of Spyro. And in each version of Spyro, you can do something different. Mm-hmm. So like one, I don't know which, I sometimes know which one he's playing. I'm like, I think I know which one. So I don't know. Sometimes you have to glide, and there's like an extra jump glide that you can do, or a pound smash, or and the first one you can't do any of those. It's just regular spiral glide everywhere and shit like that. But so I don't know which one he's playing sometimes, and I'm like, I don't know how to make this jump. Do I sacrifice a life?
Get good
trying this, and I'm like helping him. Good. And right, and he looks at me like, well, you can do everything. And I'm like, no, I can't. It's like, I have to learn, you know. I'm just way faster at learning than he is. So, yeah.
You know, just to keep the tally, you talked more about him playing Spyro and learning moves on there than his schoolwork. I'm just saying.
True story.
Yeah, because he's almost done. And I haven't started the work that's away from school.
I'm just fucking. I'm just doing the little thing, you know, inciting fires.
Bunch of savages in this town.
Yeah, ball busting. It's called ball busting.
Ball busting. That's right. I mean, we're not Italians, but yeah, we can call it that. Anything else, Ralph?
No, because whatever I say doesn't matter.
No, I mean, it does matter. Come on.
No. I'm good.
Okay. All right, then. I have.
So let's go on to the next preview.
I have a gaming update. So I've been playing a game heavily suggested by Ralph. It is called Cuphead. Yeah, I got it. It was like $20 or something on Switch, and I got it on there. And it's really fun. I can see why you really like it. It's really cool. It's actually surprisingly fun to play and kind of hard.
Definitely hard.
Yeah, I mean, it tells me there's this one guy you meet eventually. He tells you, or this pool of water, and it tells you how many times you died. I'm like, oh, I died 7-8 times already, huh? Okay, I did not keep score.
So you're that far already. What's the last boss you beat?
Let's see. It was. I'm in the second world with the circus stuff, and I beat, I'm not, did I beat the genie? I think the genie was the last one I beat, this weird genie thing.
Yeah, that's hard.
But I beat everything on simple first, and then I do the regular.
Itch. Okay.
I mean, I do them all. I did, the first world is all done, simple and regular, but I just do both just to have more fun out of it. But yeah, it's definitely hard, and I like doing the regular because I'm like, ooh, what new addition they're going to add to this boss villain thing that I have to... You know,
when you beat the game, you unlock very hard or extreme version or something.
Oh man, I don't know. I don't know if I want to punish myself that much.
Yeah, right.
It's not because it's not easy. But Cuphead is what kind of game would that be? A platformer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. So, but it's really cool. It has style to like the 30s, kind of like that, kind of like. Well, I mean, if you want to go with the cartoons, 40s maybe. But like, that kind of like Betty Boop style of black and white, you know, the way they move, the way they interact, the way they talk, even the cadence they use and the sound effects. It's pretty accurate to the cartoons or animated stuff that was happening back then. So it's in the style of that, and it's really cool. You made a deal with the devil, essentially, and you have to get all the devil's debtors.
I found that there's a lot of stuff going on in the background of that game where... I think the game is running, like, the animations and everything is running, like, at 30 frames per second. But the characters itself can move, I think, up to 120 or something. But I think they try to move around 60 frames per second. So it's, like, it's really weird because you're moving better. There's, like, two different things going on. And it makes it a completely unique view. And then the company hasn't came out with anything since Cuphead. And I am waiting for them to come out to put something else. Obviously, I'm assuming something in the Cuphead world or something along those lines. But yeah, they knocked it out of the park with this one for sure.
Yeah. Aren't they making a Netflix show for Cuphead?
I think they are. No.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All right, like an animated series or something like that.
I got into this game at the right time.
Yeah.
No, it's great. I mean, I'm telling you, my discovery list is going to be all games. I've been playing so many new games I've never even heard of, or some I heard of that I've been wanting to play for a long time. So this is one of them. Another smaller gaming update is that I've been playing. I took advantage of the 50% off, which was already kind of percent off from that point. Resident Evil collection games on the Switch, and I picked up like Part 6, which I've never played, and Part 0, which I never finished back then. When I
had Zero was the GameCube, right?
Yes, that's the one. I never finished it. I remember
GameCube
the train. I remember we used to have GameCube.
I never owned the GameCube. I never remember owning a GameCube.
Well, I know.
I remember you having a GameCube.
I must have been.
Me, Oscar, or Ralph?
Ralph.
I don't remember having a GameCube.
I remember.
I remember you having Resident Evil 4 on GameCube.
Oh, man, maybe I got it for the end of the cycle, but I don't remember having it, to be honest with you.
No, we had. Okay. Wow. We all have different memories, clearly, because I remember us having Veronica, Code Veronica.
I never played Veronica or Zero. Or Zero I saw played, but I never actually finished it, and and then Veronica I never even played. I just, like, I was like, man, there's too many fucking Resident Evil games, and I just stopped playing.
There's a lot. But 4 is Kennedy, right, with the president's daughter and shit?
Yeah, I played the shit out of that one.
I know you did, but I thought we played on the PS, whatever it was.
Well, it came out the same year, I think like end of the year or something. Mm-hmm. It's like 8 months after.
That was our DDR age.
It was after the thing. It came out first for GameCube, and then like 8 months later, I think it came out for...
Well, regardless, I bought a bunch of them on there, and I played Zero last night for the first time, or since then, I guess. And I you said, Rob, that you remember me playing it past all the way through. I don't remember that at all.
No, I don't. I didn't. I never finished that game.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you saw me game playing, finishing the game.
No.
No, because I never finished it. I'm in this mansion now after the train part, and I'm like, whoa, I don't know what's going on. I never remember any of this. But yeah, it's really fascinating, just fun stuff, gaming stuff. Otherwise, much like you guys, work is slowly getting more like it used to be. Hours are extended, for example. We're now grab and go, so you can come in and order, but you can't stay kind of thing. So it's slowly extending to that point. At some point, we're going to be opening till 9, like regular times, 9 p.m. So I'm going to have my old schedule back pretty soon. So, but they're doing this weird thing that kind of sucks, and I already kind of got the fruits of that suckiness, where they are, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, they do something where all your shifts are with the same exact people, no matter what. Like, they call it like blocks of shifts or something. And like the same three people are in one shift, and that's basically your team for until this whole thing is over, quarantining. And the purpose of that is that if one of you is sick or whatever, has to call the day off, the whole block gets off, and they replace it with a completely different block to work your or cover your shift if it need be. So like if one of my other coworkers takes the day off in my block, I have to take the day off, for example. And it seems, I don't know if it's a safety measure you guys are familiar with.
Nope.
No, the worst we've gotten is if someone has a confirmed case, is they send people who were next to that person.
Right. I think you mentioned that to me. Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, that sounds fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm at the mercy of two other. I mean, they're at the mercy of me too. But I've never taken a day off, actually. So
hope you like actually working with them.
I do. Actually, no, it's funny. One of them, who I was like middle tier on, you know, liking to work with him. I didn't care one way or the other. I'm not gonna mention names. Once we just got grab and go a few days ago, and he opted to not work during that time because he's more worried about this corona thing than me for sure.
Lame.
So he's not working anymore. So I had to add someone else to my block. And overall, I do enjoy those people in my room, so yeah, I'm fine. I'm good. Overall, it's good. It's not like my first pick. It's not my first draft, I guess. But whatever. It's not a big deal. It's not a competition. But yeah, that's what's been going on with me. Now we can move on to our recent discoveries. Very simply explained there is that we talk about movies we've been watching independently of each other. Luke, you're going to start us off. You have two movies.
Yep.
What are those two movies?
First one, me and my buddy did like a... You know, we hung out a couple of days ago, watched like some 90s movies and watched some wrestling and things of that nature. So, came across this VHS he had for an old 1996 kids movie. called the Paper Brigade.
Yeah, I have no idea what this is.
I never heard of it either. So, but one of the big things was that like Robert Englund was starring in the not starring. He was like a support character. But it was like this crazy old guy in there. But it's a very 1990s movie where it's about these two kids that are lived in like metropolitan New York, you know, and then they moved to like some quiet suburb, kind of acclimating to that, and you know. The older brother falls for some chick, tries to get concert tickets, so he has to join like the paper delivery boys to get the money. But then there's some bullies involved, you know, very kids type of movie thing.
Yeah.
It was a fun little watch, you know. That and you know, we also had like Slurpees and shit, so you know, it felt like a kid again.
I have a question with a movie that came around that time, maybe a little before 1996. Robert Englund's character, who plays what again?
He's like this crazy old like military obsessed neighbor. Like if you try to like cut through his yard, he'll like unleash like these geese on you, and like he'll shoot you with a paintball gun.
What's the name of this movie?
The Paper Brigade.
Geese are awful. So yeah, I understand using geese for sure. they're just the worst ever. So plus or minus as to a better or worser version of the pigeon lady from Home Alone 2. You know how they have you know, is it a plus or minus?
I don't know. Pigeon lady, she's got something going for her.
I mean, she was redeemable and all that, and it's all about Christmas, but it's different. But you know what I'm saying? Like the darkness of it, like the scariness of it, huh?
Okay. No, not as scary. He's more of like a nut job type of, you know, character.
Okay. Cool.
So like a screwball type, yeah.
All right, cool. So I want to know. All right, what's the next one?
The next one is a Netflix movie that just came out, The Lovebirds. It's like a kind of like a action-y rom-com type of thing with, Camille Nanjiani and Issa Rae.
Is it actual birds?
I do want to see this. I saw it in a theater trailer before all this, obviously.
Oh, I wasn't sure if it was like a theater trailer, if it was going to be a theater thing or straight to Netflix type of thing.
It went to Netflix, I think. Yeah,
it's kind of got this like premise where you know they're a couple, and you know first you meet them, and you know they kind of like fall for each other, and then it's like a couple years down the line, they're kind of getting sick of each other, relationship's gone stale, and then just. They happen to be in a car and they witness like a murder type of thing. And now they're trying to like kind of solve the murder and not kind of get framed for it because like their car is used to like kind of run over a guy multiple times. So,
okay. Yeah. I kind of remember that trailer and I remember, how's their chemistry? I guess that would be the key thing, right?
Yeah.
In the beginning they're great together. Then they kind of hate each other, you know, towards the thing, but overall, they work fine. Yeah, no, they're great. But they're just really good actors.
So. They picked it up, right? Netflix picked it up to put it on there. Yeah,
cool. I might check that out actually because I was mildly curious. But I was also mildly curious over the one he did with that wrestler dude. What's his name?
Oh,
you guess what I'm talking about?
Stuber. I saw it.
Yeah,
it was just paint by numbers. Yeah,
okay. Right. But I'm saying I was about the same level of curiosity as that is overall.
Yeah, I mean,
I like Issa Rae though, so I like her show on HBO.
I haven't seen it. I should really start.
Which show is that? Is that Insecure?
Insecure. Yeah, that's right.
I always caught episodes of Insecure, and I really liked it, but I never saw it from like start to finish. I just kept picking up like in the middle of you know.
Well, I'm not also a completist either. I've not been caught up. I'm two seasons behind, but I saw the first two, and it was pretty great. Pretty great. Anyway, but yeah, check it out. HBO. Issa Rae is great, and Camille is also really great. Usually.
Oh yeah,
he's been in a lot of bad movies though. I heard MIB was terrible. Even though he was the funniest part in it, but whatever. And I think anything else, Luke, on that movie?
I'm not gonna say it's a great movie. It's an okay movie. Like I'm not gonna say it. It's okay, not great, not bad. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
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 All right. Raph, you got something this time.
So yeah, I saw this movie called The Willoughbys. It is a kids movie on Netflix. What is it? It's I can't even tell you who it is. It's directed by two people apparently, Chris Pern and Corey Evans. Will Forte, Maya Rudolph, Alyssa Cara, Terry Crews, Martin Short, all those characters, Ricky Gervais, all those are voice actors in the movie. It was my kids saw like a trailer, I guess, on YouTube. And he was like, Willoughbys. And literally one night we were trying to figure out a movie. And I was like, huh, what's this trailer? And I just stumbled upon it. And he was like, I want to watch that movie. So we totally saw it. And it was fun. The art style is, they have, like, their hair is all like yarn. It's really weird, like, for the characters, but that's like a thing. It's like these unwanted children from their parents, which is like the complete opposite of life of Leo. These adults have kids and they just keep popping out kids because they keep making love, but they only have love for each other. They don't have love for anybody else.
Wow. I never heard of a condom. Jesus.
Yeah. Right. So,
or a pullout,
or a pullout, come on, right?
Those tits, Jesus.
So yeah, they get and they're supposed to come out from like a long lineage of like adventurers and shit, whatever the case is. Anyways, they have a big family history, and it's just like the kids are just trying to like fight the family. It's a heartwarming story. Don't get me wrong, but it was still like it was okay. I had fun with it. My son enjoyed the movie a lot. Like he's willing to rewatch it. It's one of his rewatchable movies, which is good for him, I guess.
We all have those.
Yeah, we all do have those. So yeah, that's one of my movies.
Nice.
I wouldn't necessarily recommend it for any of you guys, but
what are you trying to say? I can't enjoy a good kids movie?
I mean,
that's exactly what he's trying to say. Yeah.
Not by yourself. That's just not this one. Go watch
with your niece.
Frozen,
yeah.
With
your niece and nephew. Anyways, or by yourself. The other movie on my list is
nephew too.
Jesus yeah. Christ, Oscar! He's like almost three.
Anyways, the other movie on my list is 1985's Commando. Never actually seen it before. Don't get me wrong; I've seen parts and bits of the movie. I think I've seen the end like 30 times, but yeah, it's just I've never actually seen the whole movie. It's just a pretty ridiculous fucking movie.
Oh yeah,
I mean like. Pretty bad. Like, I mean, I knew it was
pretty
bad.
Amazing. You mean?
Yeah, pretty amazingly bad. Yeah, and it's good to watch for that reason. That's all I got going for it, really.
Yeah, this movie definitely would have worked if we were like watching it. Well, 1985, because only I was alive. But like I don't know, in the 90s or as kids or something, like we would have really enjoyed this movie. You know,
I did.
Had 100%. Yeah.
Well, Ralph and I didn't see it, Luke, that early.
Really?
I mean, I saw it in the late teens.
Honestly. Don't get me wrong. Like, I still enjoyed it, like, watching it as a, like, you know, funny to watch because it's kind of fucking unreal. Not kind of, but mostly. Like, he just rips seats out of cars and shit. And it's literally, like, a testament to, like, him working out.
Yeah. No, it's a working out commercial.
That's all it is, really. But, yeah, obviously, this we're talking about.
A phone booth. He takes out
Arnold Schwarzenegger's. John Matrix, his name is in the movie.
Classic name. Classic 80s name.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, we were talking about Alyssa Milano's in it, and she plays the daughter of John, or Jane Matrix, I think her name is. Or Jenny.
Pre-Charmed,
right, exactly. Which is kind of crazy. Because I don't think I've ever seen her anything else before Charmed. Yeah, so
yeah,
it was just it's a their movie for sure. It's an 80s movie, 100%. Like this.
Oh yeah, yeah. It lives in that decade only.
Yeah, 100%. It does.
It'll die of asphyxiation if it tries to travel to another decade. It does not travel really well.
No. But for what it is, it's still. I mean, I had fun watching it, as in like making fun of it. So that was good, I guess.
Yeah, that works.
It has some awesome one-liners too, though.
Some awesome forced, very, very forced one-liners.
Yeah, he does get better at the one-liners. He does seem a little more relaxed in future movies.
Yeah, I mean, he goes out of his way to tell the flight attendant to not bother his friend because he's dead tired. Like, you know?
Yeah, like, he didn't...
Amazing.
Yeah, that wasn't necessary at all. Like,
yeah, it was.
You could see, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the actor, like, going... like,
yeah,
I don't think he wanted to talk much.
Yes, Arnold.
Yeah, probably not.
Because he had that really thick accent back then. So
he still does. But sure.
His muscles translated for him.
So that's true. Very much true. Other than that, that's pretty much all I got.
All right, so I got a few movies here. I'm going to start off with a kind of a fucked up movie called Vivarium. or Vivarium. No one actually says the title in the movie, as far as I remember. Has anyone heard of this movie? It's kind of new.
Yes, I have heard of it.
Yeah, okay. It was supposed to come out on theaters, no. One of those smaller releases, but still theater, but obviously it got knocked down to iTunes rental. A young couple looking for the perfect home find themselves trapped in a mysterious labyrinth-like neighborhood of identical houses. This movie stars Jesse Eisenberg and Imogen Poots. The Poots. That's right, I know. You love that name, don't you? You're such a fuckhead. Yeah.
You know what her full name is, though, right?
No, I don't know her full name.
Imogen Gay Poots.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, is that why you're laughing, or is it because it's that Poots? You don't. Yes. You're a child. You're like a child. You are a child, literally. Oh, my God. Okay, anyway. This movie is a little wackadoodle. It was recommended to me by friend of the show, SOS founder, Jason. He's like, dude, you gotta watch this movie. It's fucked up. It's twisty. It's weird. And he's right. It's fucked up. It is twisty. It is weird. I didn't like it as much, though, because I figured for myself, personally speaking, it did not have a very good, as Luke would put it, closure type of ending. And in this case, I kind of wanted more fucking answers. So I'll say that by being completely vague about it. But the essential premise of it is that, you know, this guy takes him to, like, oh, you want to look for a new house? Yeah, I have these all new houses, great price, whatever. I'll take you there. And he takes him there, and it's like all identical houses. Kind of feels like Stepford Wives land. And but no one's outside, no cars, no nothing. And he takes him to his house, and then he leaves, you know, whatever, he leaves him there. And they can't get out. It's like a labyrinth. Every time they try to turn a corner, they turn around the same exact corner. They're back in the house. Always. In front of the house. Always. And it becomes like this thing where they have to live there for years, essentially. And, you know, on like the third day or something, a baby gets dropped off in a box, actually, I think it was, to their doorstep. And their job is to take care of this baby, raise him, it says, and then you'll be let go. And then they have to raise this kid while they're in this weird situation where they don't know what's happening. It's only them two and, I guess, this boy. And, you know, as you can imagine, the psychosis of human frailty begin to rise, right? And, you know, and it does get to some interesting parts, for sure. Some of that stuff understandable. It's kind of fun, kind of weird, kind of creepy. The boy is fucking creepy as fuck. Jesus. But that actor is good. They picked good casting, you know. But yeah, otherwise, like I said, it did not meet my... I'm not saying I had expectations, exactly, like specific ones. But it did not... Whatever it was, it didn't satisfy me at the end. But it is still, I think, overall, a good enough movie. A good movie. So check it out if you want. It is for rental. Vivarium or Vivarium. That's what I've been watching. And the next two movies I have here, they're twin movies. They're twin films. And I stumbled upon them by accident. Here is the story. I saw this movie called Body Cam, and then I saw a movie called Black and Blue. Has anyone heard of these movies?
I heard of Black and Blue, I think.
I think I've heard of Body Cam.
Okay, Black and Blue was the bigger one, kind of. There was a few trailers last year. I think it came out last year, actually. Maybe late last year. That one had more trailers to it. It had bigger stars in it. Not like they were like huge stars, but they were bigger actors than Body Cam. But they both have actors you both will recognize in many movies. So it's not like they're both unknown or any of them are unknown. So I wanted to see Black and Blue because I remember seeing the trailers and I wanted to see something. This is 2 weeks ago. I wanted to see something kind of schlocky, but kind of fun and something new, right? Just something, right? I was just looking for it. And let's face it, I was, you know, on the seas of pirates out there. And I thought it was called Body Cam because that's the premise. The premise of Black and Blue, actually, is that this cop, new cop, I guess, 3 weeks into the job kind of cop, is...
Also, I've heard of Black and Blue, though. Yep.
Yeah. So right, she sees her partner and a bunch of other cops shoot and kill this black drug dealer or something like that in a weird like in a warehouse alone kind of thing. She captures it on her body cam, which is like a new thing in the department, and then the whole movie is her running away from these corrupt cops and trying to get the body cam either like released or sent to the FBI or sent to Internal Affairs or something like that, right? And the whole time she's using her old acquaintance, who is not a gang leader or anything like that, but he's like a big member, anti-cop member of the neighborhood, kind of. You know, he has his own thing and he does his own businesses. And they both like get together to like, you know, beat the cops, I guess, and their corruption. And that's what I thought I was going to watch. And I thought it was called Body Cam because it makes sense. And I saw a movie, 2019. Well, 2020, called Body Cam. And it's not that movie. I accidentally saw the wrong movie.
And the one with Mary J. Blige?
Yeah, that's the one I saw first. So I was watching it. I'm like, this is not the movie. But I'll start watching it. I'm like, no big deal. So Body Cam is similar, but not really similar. She plays a cop who, in the midst of some, what was it? She got aggressive with someone on the streets, some citizen. And she just came back from that kind of thing. So she's still a little raw about it. But there's these murders that are unexpectedly happening. This is actually kind of a horror movie, a supernatural horror movie, actually, Body Cam is. And that it involves cops that may have sinned on something in the past. And you don't know what's going on or why these murders are happening. But it revolves around this woman who is like this, like a beggar type of person in the streets. Who every time she gets assaulted or gets really anxious or gets really worked up, this thing comes out and starts killing people, and she's you know, one of the few people who's ever get to see it, and she's chasing it down, and that's what that movie is. And for that kind of movie, it's a good B solid movie. It's a B movie. So it's a little too clean for my taste. I think that they could have gotten a little extra more brutal if they wanted to make a good horror movie, in my opinion. So as far as a horror movie, you know, credentials go, it's not as great. But Body Cam is interesting. Almost the same kind of point, but told differently as Black and Blue does, which, as you can imagine, Black and Blue, which is a double entendre, Black and Blue meaning, you know, black people and blue people, right? And it's great. They both have very similar stuff. They're perfect twin films because they both came out months of each other. And I almost want to put it in for a future review. But they're both like Black and Blue I saw 3 days ago. And in the midst of all this, you know, riots and stuff, it's very, you know, proportionate. So appropriate, I mean, or maybe not appropriate. But yeah, it's fine. They're fine movies. I like Black and Blue a little better. I think the thrilling aspects work for me better. You know, there's some great shootouts, I think, that I liked, and stuff like that. Overall, the quality, I felt better on that. But Body Cam, Mary J. Blige is not bad. She's pretty good. You know, I like her a lot in that movie. So check both out if you're interested. They're both up for rental right now. Yeah. If you're in that kind of mood, you might not be in this kind of mood right now, but after all this passes, maybe you will be. Check it out then. All right. So that's like twin films there I did there. Next up here is a movie called Spies, which I know you guys haven't seen, so don't even worry about it.
Why do you know that?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Who saw it?
Spies in Disguise? Yeah, I saw that last year.
What's that one?
It's the one in, where the guy turns, it's an animated movie, where the guy turns into a bird?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
But that's awesome. All right, Spies is a movie from 1928. It is made by...
Hella old.
Yeah, I know. It's made by Fritz Lang, who is the director, you know, the guy who did M, the movie we're going to review very soon. So I saw it on Mubi. They had it on there. It is a silent movie, black and white. So I saw it in, you know, and right before, you know, doing M, because I was like, oh, you know, let's just do a Fritz Lang little marathon going on here. The mastermind behind a ubiquitous spy operation learns of a dangerous romance between a Russian lady and the employee of and a dashing agent from the government secret service. And the movie's not short. It's like 240, but it is very interesting. It's plot heavy. Everything's really well understood, and the way the eye catches you for information and the nuances of their facial expressions to understand what's going on, because obviously there's no dialogue. There's cue cards, you know, like City Lights and all that. But really interesting story. It's heavy. It's a lot of subplots, and there's the Japanese ambassador, and then there's the colonel who, you know, gets killed. And it's great stuff in there. That's a really great trade craft. There's actual real, like, spy craft going on in the movie. Not as much as you might imagine, but there's some. And the stuff that they have to do, you know, versus the technology that rules spy movies today is so different, but also very interesting. They both have the same level of anxiety to them. And I think the movie works really well. I really enjoyed it. If you guys have time still, it still has at least a week on Mubi left. If you guys want to check it out, it's called Spies by Fritz Lang from 1928. Check it out. It's a silent movie. It's been around for a long time. Obviously, I didn't spoil anything, but it's a really cool spy movie. If you guys are interested, check that out. It's not so political either. You think it'll be more political, but it's not really. It just sets the countries and the secret, you know, services, and then they just let the players do the rest, you know. So check that out. It's really good. I liked it. Last but not least, I saw a movie called The Lodge, and this is a new movie, or newer movie. Let me pull up the thing real quick. I'll just cut this out. All right. Let's
see. Oh, I've seen the trailer for this.
Yeah, me too. A soon-to-be stepmom is snowed in with her fiancé's two children at a remote holiday village.
Oh, okay. I know which one that is.
Yeah. Just as relations begin to thaw between the trio, some strange and frightening events take place. The Lodge stars Riley Keough. Jaden Martell is one of the kids. Leah McHugh is the other kid. Richard Armitage. And you know what's funny? Alicia Silverstone is in the movie in the beginning. Do you guys remember who she is, right?
Batman.
Batwoman. Or is it
Batman? Batman movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which one was it? Batman Forever? Batman and Robin.
I think Batman and Robin, because that's the one with Mr. Freeze, right?
I don't remember. Those two are the same to me. In my head, they're the same. So I don't know which one's which, actually. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But Alicia Silverstone, famous for Clueless mainly, but you know, that's who it is. So I want to see this movie because this guy did, the director, did a Goodnight Mommy a few years ago. And I really liked that movie, so I wanted to see his follow-up.
He's got some mommy issues, Jesus.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. As a matter of fact, if you ever were curious how Alicia Silverstone as an actress, well, you know, or as a character in a movie, would commit suicide, check this movie out because that's how it opens, kind of.
Spoiler?
Yes, it's in the opening. You can watch it. So The Lodge, very creepy movie. I love the sound design. Great fucking sound design. It makes you want to lean into the speaker or the headphones. Whatever. I mean, it makes you want to lean in to listen harder, you know, kind of movie. So if you're interested in that kind of like thrilling suspense stuff, that's what it has for you in stock. Great sound. What do you call it? Not sound design. Music composition. Great. I love the soundtrack in it. I love the way that it just brings up and brings you down all the time. In relation to the severity of whatever that's going on, and it could just be people walking up the stairs or not, but that just changes everything, right? And it's really good. It has a purgatory-esque feel to this thing that's going on because you don't know what's really going on, and then once you do, it's like a different level of horror. You know, it's not like a risen level; it's like a different level of horror. It becomes a different kind of horror movie, even though it strikes the same tone. It does change. The when you find out a certain truth, like a third way in the movie, or two-thirds. I know I'm being vague, but essentially, yeah, what I said in the plot description is that she is the new stepmom for these two kids, right? And the husband has to work, and they're in this lodge. It's basically snowed in. There's miles of nothing around them kind of thing. You know, they have plenty of food and all that, but at some point, something weird happens where you get like little tidbits of this new stepmom's history, where she used to be part of this cult, and that she used to have like a very wicked childhood, very different from, you know, your standard norm, and that she is definitely in moving forward. She's about to marry this guy with his kids, and he's normal and all that. But like, you know, you can tell that she has those memories. She's kind of traumatized, right? Or she used to be, and the movie takes that and takes it to the next level when the kids do a certain something, and I'm not going to spoil here, but it relates to what's happening in that lodge. And then it turns into this ethereal, like, you don't know where in the world you are, you know, kind of feel. And so I'll check it out, guys, if you guys want to experience those kind of feelings in a horror movie. And if you have the attention span for it, I would highly recommend The Lodge. Check it out. It is on iTunes to rent. That's where I saw it. I don't think it's available on any streaming service otherwise. But yeah, those are the movies I've seen. I've been into kind of a horror movie thing. I saw other horror movies too, but I'm not going to mention them here. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we'll review our first movie of the evening, which is from 2018, Monster Party. Stay with us.
We should definitely have something big tomorrow.
I'm working that dinner party thing tomorrow night. I told you this.
They got a safe in the master bedroom. Yuppie scums won't know where them.
My name is Roxanne Dawson, and like all of you, I'm an addict.
Hello, Roxanne.
It's been a long and arduous battle for me. With monsters inside and out. But here I am, a functioning member of society.
We gotta get out of here.
Those kids aren't leaving this house alive.
Tonight was supposed to be a reunion to celebrate everyone's cleanness, but...
You've got a bad boy.
This can't be happening.
We're not animals.
Aren't we? I love this thing. I'm ready to make the Dawson's great again.
Three young thieves infiltrate a Malibu dinner party. That's the fucking plot. Written and directed by Chris Von Hoffman.
Okay, you read that wrong. It's Hoffman. Chris Von Hoffman.
Okay, I guess I did read it wrong. This is starring Sam Strike, Virginia Gardner, Brandon Michael Hall, Kian
People
Lowe.
You never heard of.
All these people I never heard of. Robin Tunney, I've definitely heard, or Tunney maybe. Julian McMahon. Fuck McCann, I can't fucking say his name. I've heard him for Lance Reddick, of course. Roth and I know him very well from Bosch. Not to mention The Wire and John Wick and a bunch of places. So some of these are really well known for sure, but not the main people. This is overall kind of an indie movie, exclusively on Shudder, as far as I know. Monster Party came out in 2018. Let's start with Roth. What did you think of Monster Party?
I thought it was okay at best. I mean, it was nothing. It didn't bring anything new to the table. I thought it was a cool like. It could have been a cooler plot, I guess. I just felt like it meshed it put a lot of things together from like other movies or other plots. And obviously I'm not saying everything has to be unique, but it is harder and harder to make, especially like horror movies and stuff. But the way it went about it, it was just like, I think it could have got a cooler way. I don't know exactly how you would execute it, but I think in my head, I saw something different or was hoping something different would happen. I just felt like it was like they wanted to do a lot, but they were also on a limited budget or something, and they couldn't do a lot. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't know what you're going for here. I'm very lost.
Yeah, hopefully I'll remember that because I do have something about that. But that's good.
But other than that, I mean, like I said, I had fun watching it still. Like some of the stuff that was like, going on. But yeah, that's about it.
All right, Luke, what did you think of this movie?
It sucked. It was all like right. A shittier version of that other movie that I didn't like, Ready or Not.
That's
like,
helpful. Oh, Ready or Not, yeah.
You didn't like Ready or Not?
No. The movie's it great. Was dumb.
You're dumb. Your fucking face is dumb.
We were laughing our asses off at Ready or Not.
Yeah, it's a
Ready
comedy.
Ready or Not,
no,
at least.
I thought it was supposed to be a fucking horror.
It's comedy horror. It's both. It's like the Day of the Dead or the
it's
Uncut of
dumb.
The Dead. No. You got it wrong.
You know,
Ready or Not has the same problem, though. Same problem where they didn't live up to what it should have.
Yeah, this movie was dumb. I didn't care for it.
Well, I mean, okay, great.
The best part of the movie was that chick in the yellow dress, and we all know what happened to her.
I don't remember that at all. I mean, I saw it like a week and a half ago already.
She's the girl that came
with
the party.
She's the one that came in with the party with those, what's the name from Bosch?
The doctor guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Nope, don't have it. Anyway, so now that Ready or Not has been put on the table here, just for the hell of it, I will say that comparatively, Ready or Not is fucking Schindler's List compared, or a Citizen Kane, or
Schindler's List. Wow,
in quality, guys. The point is, it's in quality. Monster Party. Yeah, I would say that it left me quite unsatisfied. I had a few moments for sure of like, you know, that's cool or that's interesting. Or fascinating or something, a little bit.
Yeah, like the girl in the yellow dress.
Sure. The plot description I gave was very vague. So let me extend that a little bit by saying that this movie has an interesting concept. The concept is that these thieves, who one of them, the main actor, as you can probably surmise, is desperate for getting, what is it, $10,000, right? To bail out his father from a local, like, a bookie, right?
Correct.
Like guy. At a strip joint, of course, because you got to have the tits in there somewhere.
That's a redeeming quality of the movie right there, you know? Family movie.
And fake tits, right?
Bailing your dad out at a strip club.
All right, settle down, Chief. And one of the other thieves is the girl who's pregnant, and they mention that 30,000 times. She works for this rich family in this house in Malibu, and they're having a very special party event going on, and she, like, gets the other two thieves/friends, and one of them is her boyfriend, actually, along for the ride so they can, you know, steal it from that mansion and stuff, and everyone's down for it. Reluctantly at first, but down for it. And the interesting concept is that even though the movie takes a while to get there, because it takes like 20, 25 minutes, it feels like anyway, is that what they don't know is that they're actually, this dinner party is actually like an annual, like an AA meeting for serial killers, essentially. And that in itself is a cool concept. The idea of serial killers who managed to stop themselves, you know, before getting caught or before, like, killing themselves over, you know, murdering people. This, you know, the urge, the need that everyone understands now from watching countless of serial killer movies and documentaries and whatnot, that they manage to stop themselves, be rich. I don't know if they're rich already, but, you know, get themselves well off and be comfortable. But, you know, manage to keep their urges in check. And that goes down. Apparently, the movie surmises that one serial killer can have children, that they would also be serial killers because it's like their offspring are also like crazy mad dogs.
It's in the blood.
It's in the blood, right? They're kind of implying something that's not really true. But whatever, we'll go along with it. And that concept inherently is what made me choose this movie because that's a cool idea. I wanted to see, like, these three people trying to get out of this house once shit goes down, right?
Agreed. Agreed.
That's why why you pick this movie, right? Unfortunately, though, the execution is where we were left, at least I think all of us, pretty unsatisfied as to how things turned out to be, where the plot actually goes from that point, how things happen. Like, some of the stuff doesn't even make logical sense, honestly, personally to me. You know, so yeah, it doesn't, unfortunately, get better than the concept. And that's the real sad part. That's why Luke immediately goes with that movie sucks, when it's just an okay movie. It doesn't suck, but it's like...
Right. Oh, no, it sucks.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. So let's get into... I say that's a good point to get into just spoilers for this movie, just to get out of the way now, starting now.
Iris, your friends, are they new?
Yeah, a little bit.
They'll be okay, Miss Dawson. Miss Dawson? Needs to be perfect.
What's the occasion?
Why does this movie suck, Luke?
Because it's dumb. It's not even good.
That's a good answer. Now, it's not a good answer, so give me a detail.
Look, so, up until when you get to the house, right, and you hear like that, like, fucking scratching, and then, you know, like, oh, that's just Mickey. He's our dog or whatever. I'm like, something might be good there. Something might be good. And I was like, okay, what the fuck's in the basement? So y'all know that's not a fucking dog.
Right.
And they even butchered that. You gave me like some Goonies reject ass fucking monster. I was like, oh, come on, dude.
That sucked. I agree. And they kill him off right away. It wasn't even part of the whole thing, really. It was just a scare tactic in the end.
Right.
Didn't even serve the whole thing. Why even build up suspense for it if you're just going to like drop it on the floor? I didn't like that either. You're right. Okay. Give you a little break there. Ralph, give me something that you either liked or didn't like.
Well, like you said earlier, I did like the whole premise or the plot of like, but it could have been
the girl in the yellow dress,
the reformed serial killers or reformed
you need to get
just
laid, Luke. You need to get
murderers. You know, and it's I liked like that one scene, and I felt like we could have got more from specifically the mom in the movie. Mm-hmm. I felt like her role could have been way bigger.
Robin Turn.
Yeah, well, it's like she does this really cool part in the movie where she's like, if you haven't fucking thought, like, what they are, if they're murderers or whatever. She talks about this homeless guy, you know? And it's a weak part of the movie, but it's also, like, it could have been a really cool part, but the fact that it comes from her, and she's, like, kind of want to say, I wanted to kill this motherfucker without actually saying it.
Yeah.
I kind of knew what she meant, you know, and they're like, oh, like, we're, like, recovering alcoholics. And I was like, okay, that's kind of cool, but these kids are, like, obviously about to fucking die or something. Yeah. Or something along that nature. So, yeah, I feel like the movie just, like, had potential. And I just, like, where it went, it just didn't, yeah.
I think, honestly, I think the maybe the script went into, like, it started off bad when the one guy gets killed in the bathroom first, the first friend, right? And the other two are locked in different rooms. And that in there, then these negotiations start. And I was like, I think right. The writer, like, locked himself in a weird position from the get-go. Like, the idea that maybe, like, don't bring up everyone knowing everything at the beginning, you know? Having the mystery of maybe half the guests not knowing what's going on, the other half trying to keep it from them so nothing breaks loose, and then maybe having one of the two friends know what's going on and the other one not, and stuck in a position where they have to tell them. You know, something like that, creating some sort of, like, suspense in there. But no, the movie just opens up the whole can of everyone knows all at once, and then these fake, you know, like I said, negotiations through a door happens, and it kind of starts getting stale immediately. And then the movie doesn't really pick up from its concept after that. I think that's where, like, the problems start rolling in for me. And then it never quite stops. And also, unfortunately, as a horror movie itself, like, when you think of the horror scenes, or, you know, we think of horror movies as the way we think action movies. I mean, that dude, John Wick, killed all these people in this fucking scene with a samurai sword, badass. You say the same thing with horror movies, right? Jason killed this guy with a fucking toothpick, whatever. This movie doesn't have anything great like that. And that sucks, too. Like, I wish I had something memorable to attach to, but even the serial killers are kind of like, I mean, they're all kind of like, you know, just reactionary villains, right? They don't have anything to them. Ones we see more of, like that kid, like the main father's oldest boy, the one who kills the black kid in the bathroom, him, who we get a lot of screen time, or more than the rest. We don't know. I mean, he's just a two-dimensional character. He's a two-dimensional reactionary murderer. That's all he is. He has nothing else to him. And no one has creativity to it. No one has, like, I imagine that all these serial killers clashing together, there might be, like, some sort of, like, subplot thing of, like, all their different, like, inclinations of killing come out differently. You know, like, one of them has to do it a certain way. One of them has to asphyxiate. One of them has to, like, fuck when they kill. Like, God knows what. But something fucked up. You could think of fucked up things in there that they don't explore. And that's why.
Yeah, that's, you know. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I feel like this movie could have been awesome. The whole time. That's correct, the whole time. That's me the whole time.
That's where I'm going with the movie as well. I was like, this movie could be awesome. Yes. You can go anywhere with this movie.
Yes.
And you just want to focus on the plot of this guy getting his money back, or getting his money, not back, but getting his money, stealing his money for his dad. Like, that could have just gotten null and void. We don't give a fuck about that anymore. Yeah. Like, you know, let's just make it survival now at this point, getting out alive, not making deals with people, anything like that to the nature. I did like the whole also connection to what's it called? Like, the daughter was like, oh, I want out too, you know? I've never really fit in with them, blah, 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 blah. She's obviously killed, but just kind of like to be part of the family, not to, like, you know, kill, because she wanted to. It's never been her taste, I guess. And she's like, yeah, I want out. And this seems like a good way to come out.
Right, she's,
like,
more of a torturer type, not a killing type. Right.
Yeah, right. It's what it looks like. So she's like, I want out. And I thought that could have been a cool thing too. Like, or even if reversal, maybe she's like, just there tormenting him, you know, tormenting them or something.
Yeah.
Like, leading them to thinking they're going to be good, and then she kills them. I don't know, something.
How do you feel about this, Luke, what we're talking about here?
Meh. I feel it's like, I only kill because, I'm going to kill, but not because you told me to, because I want to. But not really.
Yeah.
No, I mean, is that why you think it sucks? The same reason that Ralph and I kind of feel like in the realm of, like, this movie could have been awesome because of all these things that it sets up.
It just feels so forced.
Did you never feels so forced. Like from the beginning, like before they even get to the mansion.
Like as soon as they have that fucking dinner, she's all like, "I was jogging and I saw this fucking homeless man," and I'm like, "Yep, you wanted to off him probably. Yep, but you just left him there." Okay, cool story, bro.
Yeah, I think you were not down for this movie. I mean, its concept. All right, then. One thing that I did like that surprised me, because I didn't know the movie was going to go there, when he drives off from the mansion at the end, I'm surprised he even made it out. No way. This is, yeah, that part felt forced, by the way. The fact he had to get out alive at all. Like, what, you know, you don't have to.
Right.
But whatever. I mean, dumb. Because, you know, the reasons why he got alive is because of these two women, right? The one I kind of understand, the one that doesn't want to actually kill be that kind of part of the family. But the wife, like Raph, you said, you needed more of her to understand her shift there. And it felt like the movie just needed her to do that to save them in order for the guy to be free. And I'm like, to get out alive.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know why. The movie doesn't have to do that. There's plenty of horror movies that ends on a bad note, guys. We're all fine with it.
Yeah, we're all fine with it, yeah.
Anyway, and the guys is not like a great, like, sympathetic character. As a matter of fact, the more sympathetic they are, the more you can kill them off. It'll feel worse for us. It feels great. But anyway, he drives off, and the movie keeps going, and that surprised me, because I thought the movie was going to end right there. And no, it keeps going, and basically this whole traumatic experience, if you want to call it that, it turns him, is this still a sour note, do you guys think? I mean, it turns him into a murderer, goes in with a samurai sword, kills a bunch of quote-unquote bad guys, right? Saves his father, keeps the 10 grand, or the 100 grand, and the car, right? How do you guys feel about that? What is the movie doing there?
No.
Closure. They gave me closure.
I don't know if the movie wants to say closure. Yeah, I guess. I don't know if the movie wants to say that, hey, like, now he likes killing too, or he never thought of this as an option, and he obviously found it very easy to kill people. I don't know. He's like bloodlust, but it doesn't leave anything. You know, it's dumb in the end. It's dumb.
Feel closure for me. I mean, as a plot outline synopsis, like he goes and retrieves his father from the criminals. Like that's closure in itself. But the whys in there, you know, all that stuff in there doesn't explain enough. Unfortunately,
they had more fake blood to use, so they're like, hey, why don't we just do this thing real fast. He'll go back and just fuck him up, you know. Yeah, we got
to have him be extra proficient at swords with people that some of them have guns. Yeah, let's do that. It'll work really well.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I get that nobody's going to take him seriously, you know, but at the same time, proficiently with a sword that he's never potentially used before.
Yes.
I don't. Yes, fuck that.
Right. It's not like the movie opened up with him watching Kill Bill and like mimicking the movements or anything. Which would have been a worse way to do it, but at least it did something, right? What was I going to say about that? Shit, I think I lost it. Oh, yeah. I guess before we wrap it, because we don't have a lot on this movie, and this movie was kind of overall disappointment for us, is that a great movie like this, and I know we mentioned Ready or Not, and I guess Ready or Not is a little more closer to it, because it's a big mansion too. And it's a lot of people versus one, right? This is versus two, but still. A really great concept that does this to the 10th degree amazing is The Collector. Have you guys seen The Collector yet?
Oh, I love The Collector.
That's a great fucking movie.
Dude, that's a great. Just IMDb it real quick.
I recently saw it again, like a week ago on Shudder.
Bro, it's a great movie. That's a movie I rewatch all the time. Actually, both of them.
I've seen it like four times. And I actually bought the second one because it wasn't available anywhere, and I had to see it. And I bought it for like $10. So it's on my iTunes if you guys want to see it. The Collection,
never seen it.
Part 2. Which is not as good as the first one, granted, but still.
It's not, but it's a cool little like extra stuff.
Yeah. But The Collector is a great idea. The concept of that movie, Luke, if you're interested, because this is a really good horror movie. I'm going to tell you a really good one here.
All right, sure.
It's this, like really good.
It's this thief who cases this house that's, you know, that this bookie or fence maybe hired him to get in order to save his family. Very similar plot, right? And he goes there at night to steal from the safe, right? And when he's in there, he realizes slowly that he's in a house where this other guy had broken into previously, set up traps all over the house, like killing, like deadly, brutal traps, and has been torturing the family members in the house. And the whole movie, he is trying to both get the stuff, get the stuff he's there to steal because to save his family, save the parents, you know, who have two kids and well, doesn't matter. They have two kids. Save the parents if he can, right? Understand what's going on and then get the fuck out of there alive. And the whole time he's trying to do it without the killer noticing that he's in the house.
Yeah.
It is such
super cool. You know, the problem with this movie, I think it came out in the Saw times. The Saw, like, 3 or 4 was that. 2009? Yeah, because Saw came out in, what, 04? 02 or something like that, right?
Actually, original? The Collector was originally a Saw script that they made into an independent movie. So, you know.
So, yeah. See, but I, you know, see, it came out in that time, and I just felt like it was, like, I guess nobody really was interested in that anymore.
But it's so much better than Saw. It's so
But it really is so much better for Saw. By the way, they're currently filming part 3, The Collected. The Collected.
Oh, what? Because part 2 ends in a pretty period, like...
Yeah, so it's The Collected. He's currently filming it right now.
Okay, all right. Because part 2 has a closure, as far as I remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, Luke, check that out. If you haven't seen it, so that's a... Take this concept of Monster Party.
Nah, can't tell me what to do.
Yes, I'm telling you what to do. Go watch it. Go watch it with your friend Jake. He likes those kind of movies. He's probably seen it already. All right, so that's it for...
It's got a horrible Metacritic score, though. 29.
Ooh.
The Collection.
Oof.
The Collector. The Collector.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
They're,
I don't
know. Jesus. They did not pay off the right writers.
You guys just like some bad movies. That's all there is to
it. It's a good movie. It's a
really
good movie.
It's a really good movie. You have no idea, Luke. Oh, it's so gruesome. Anyway. Okay, we're gonna cut it there for Monster Party because we've just been talking about a different movie for a few minutes. So... when we come back, we'll review our second horror movie from Shudder that I picked for this week. And it's going to be Notary the Curse. Check it out. Stay with us.
どうも、アンガールズです。今日はですね、心霊スポットであります、とある神社に向かって。
大丈夫ですか、マリカさん。
いやー、ちょっとあっち。
それじゃあみんなで行こう。
今なんか聞こえてすごいたくさんいる気がする。
なんか見えんの？
いや、見えるわけじゃなくて。
こったな。
その、気持ち悪い声ってのは。
私は赤ちゃんの。
赤ちゃんの。
なんでそんな言い方まで。
みんなにはね、投資をやってもらいます。
気がついたらその模様を描いちゃってるんですよ。
大ミミズ。
東京都練馬区にある広沼公園で
自殺しました。
かぐたばの呪い。
かぐたば、
かぐたばこと、
かぐたばと、
かぐたばってやんな。
かぐたば。
A documentary filmmaker explores seemingly unrelated paranormal incidents connected by the legend of an ancient demon called Kagutaba. This is Noroi the Curse, written and directed by Koji Shiraishi. Nailed it. This is the guy who did a couple movies that I've seen. Carved. Anyone seen Carved? The Slip Mouth Woman. It's a really good one. I like that one a lot. And he did Sadako versus Kayako, which combines the curses from The Ring and The Grudge in one movie. And it's kind of like Freddy versus Jason style kind of movie, but for Japan. Really cool, by the way. Check it out. This movie stars a bunch of people. I'm about to butcher their names. Jin Muraki, Ryo Kano, Tomono Kuga, Marika Matsumoto, Angarzusu, Hiroshi Aramata, and a few others. And a guy named Duncan. It's a guy named Duncan. Okay. And I don't even know if that's the order of the build, of the top build either, because a lot of these don't even have pictures on the IMDb cast. So I don't know who the fuck I'm talking about, basically. Strange movie. Anyway, this is from 2005, directly from Shudder. Luke, what did you think of this movie? Well, that's funny.
You're just picking on me, aren't you? This is
what... No, I went first last time.
Yeah, I picked you on purpose because you're next. Okay.
I did not like this movie as well.
Oh, wow. Just a big old daddy grumpy, huh?
No, it's just very incoherent. It's
okay. That
kind of like there's no real like rhyme or reason why it goes into certain places. It's kind of it's a jumble the best in the beginning, and like it just it took me. I had to take so many breaks from watching this movie because I'm like, what the fuck?
I knew you were gonna say something like that. Actually, it's really funny. Okay,
yeah, it's. It's in a league of its own, all right? League of its own.
All right. Then it makes sense to Luke. All right.
Like, that movie desperately needs a fucking editor.
Yeah. Okay. I see your point, for sure. Okay. Roth, what did you...
First, yeah, off. It took me a couple times to watch this movie as well.
Over a span of days.
Over a span of days. Well, I tried watching it with my wife, and I was like, "Oh, this could be cool. Let's watch it." And she lost interest. I don't know, maybe 5 minutes in.
Right.
I lasted half an hour, and then I was like, "All right, were you paying attention to any of that?" She was like, "I have no fucking clue what's going on in this movie," and I was like, "Fuck, all right." So I stopped, then I gave it another try later, mm-hmm. and then I totally fell asleep, and then I tried again. So I did finish it on the third viewing, though, and I felt that actually the last viewing I saw, or the attempt I saw with headphones on, worked way better. But nonetheless, it was still, yeah, it was, it's very plot heavy in the beginning, and it's kind of like there's so many things going on. They're trying to tie up so many things that the movie is like, it's making different connections that it's just kind of going everywhere for those first like 30, 40 minutes. And then eventually stuff starts tying together. It's just really heavy on it. And yeah. And the fact that it's being filmed as a documentary does not help the movie in that aspect of it. It's like, it's just like, it's not good quality. It's not good
storytelling.
It's a lot of shaky cam, a lot of like blur things. And, yeah, things of like that nature. I found that a long time ago, though. I don't really like that style of movies. I want to like them, and I do. Like Cloverfield, I like overall, but I haven't seen it since it came out, and for that reason. I don't like Blair Witch. I never liked Blair Witch, and stuff like that. So, like, I always find them kind of annoying to watch, and it's like it hurts more of my brain of like trying to keep up with the movements. And even though I play video games and shit, and there's movements and shit, crazy stuff all the time, it's just maybe because I have control over it. But it was just there, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. It's my turn. It's good thing you guys went first because I feel very similar. It took me 4 tries.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, the first 2 times I could not stay awake. I could not stay away. I could not focus on it and follow the movie as well as I wanted to. Now, granted, I did start the movies at 3 in the morning, but that's also like my prime time, kind of, depending on the movie I'm watching. So it's like here and there. So I ended up watching it the 3rd time in the afternoon, but actually something actually came up and I had to stop it halfway through. I'm like, fuck, okay, fine. And then when I finished it, But every time I rewatched it, I always went back like half the time that I watched already, just so I can like rewatch, get the flow,
get back into it. Yeah,
right. But I didn't restart it from the beginning every time either, so I'm just gonna say that here. But the last time I watched like 60% of it from that point, the rest of it. I ended up really, really enjoying the movie, and I found out what was the problem. And what you guys are saying are completely legit. I had the same problems, guys. I was like, where is this thing going? What is it doing? How is this, And when you see it, and when I realized it, I realized it towards the end, granted. But even throughout the movie, I was thinking the whole time, like, it's a mockumentary. What's it going for? Why mockumentary, right? And the whole thing is that I think this is a case, guys, where the movie's authenticity is too great. It's actually too real that it makes it virtually unwatchable. Like, it is exactly... I don't know if you guys have seen a lot of movies from the 2000s, from Japan, even from, like late 90s to now, or from late 90s to, like, 2009, let's say, or something around there. Like, a lot of movies look like this. Now, not the documentary style, it wasn't shaky cam, but the quality and picture of it, they derive their horror from not Hollywood-esque cameras, okay? They didn't look like our movies. And that was on purpose. That was their style. That was their cultural style. It's not because they couldn't afford the cameras. But back then, their indie movies had this style of it way more in their culture of cinema. If you watch any movie, Takashi Miike movies, a lot of them are shot this way. I don't know if you guys know or remember any of his movies. A lot of them are shot this way. They're not mockumentaries. Granted, like I said, no shaky cam. but the look is exactly the same. So I expected that already. So that didn't bother me so much, guys. I'm sorry to bother you guys, or especially you, Luke. But the rest of it, I figured out. If you guys ever see like sensationalist like docuseries from Japan, it looks kind of similar to our reality TV. As a matter of fact, very similar. I think that the movie was trying to be authentic and showing us a program as if it would appear broadcast television in Japan. And I think in doing so, in being authentic to that style, it strictly made it really hard for us to watch it here in America. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, it's hard to follow. But yeah, it's because it's more normalized, but it's also kind of like a serialized normal. It's like,
no. You know, I agree with you. It's like me accidentally going onto the Korean channel or the Japanese channel and watching the news.
Yeah.
And me being told through the news. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's just too matter of fact at some points.
The perfect example I came up with was the, have you guys ever seen RoboCop? Any of the movies where they show commercials?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like watching those commercials. They look like commercials from the 90s or 80s, wherever those movies came out. But they're ridiculous. They're unwatchable. You never will see them otherwise, but they're part of the movie and you have to see it. I figure like that's what this is, but like the whole movie's like this. You know what I'm saying?
I love that sunblock commercial they had in one of the RoboCops.
Yeah, that was part two.
And they're like, since we destroyed the ozone layer, like the sun is like...
Right.
And you need FCF. Like lopping on this thing. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You look like a purple, like a Rick and Morty character, basically. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, so I figured that Notary of the Curse is shot that way and is made that way. And it makes it kind of hard to recommend for the same reasons, because it's just like, who can sit through this entire movie? Unless you're really prone to it and you're really good for it and to watch it and all that. But that seems like a very specific mood. But regardless of that, I think, and without spoilers yet, I really enjoyed this curse, the way it ends up unfolding. Like when you get, I think when you get first the third hump right there, when you start seeing some connections happening, that's where my attention was like laser focused. You know, it was good. Like I was into it. And then by the time only a third of the movie was there, like the third act or whatever, I was so like having theories left and right. Like, is this going to be the guy? I was constantly like asking myself questions and figuring it out and saying, what the fuck? Now the movie itself, like the horror aspects of it, doesn't have like crazy, you know, as you can imagine, maybe a lot of people may assume, oh, it's a Japanese horror movie. It's got to be insane with all the stuff and horror and gore and all that. It doesn't have that. It's more like, it's definitely more supernatural and thriller and suspense-y than that. It's more about, you know, what you're listening to, the silence between one action and another. But I think it does that really well. And I think it overall worked more than I thought it would, considering I had to wake up and see the movie four times to get it going. So that's how I feel about it. I don't know if you guys felt any similar to that. Did it have any redeeming qualities?
It ended.
Okay, great.
That's the best quality in it.
No.
Okay, there was a couple.
Let him finish.
Redeeming qualities. I mean, the story was kind of cool about like the demon and how they like showed like that ritual, like they did in like the 70s or whatever, mm-hmm. like the last time, and like the possession and shit like that. Okay. So like, if you were to make this into like a straight up like non-mockumentary movie, I might fucking watch that.
Yeah, I mean, it'd probably be easier to watch.
Because that plot was salvageable into something good. You can make something good out of that. But the way it was told and shot is just, it's just doing the story that they're trying to tell like a disservice, honestly.
Hmm. Okay.
I really wish this was in another format. Like, if someone was to go like, hey, I'm going to remake this movie like right now, today, and just get rid of the whole documentary shit, stick right to like a plot of like,
well, I feel like you could do the documentary part, just have them be filmed. No, have them filming it, but we're watching the movie of them filming it. You know what I'm saying? We're just watching the movie version, but like their actors are still, I guess kind of like One Cut of the Dead. The difference is like, just you're just filming their, that's their role, but we're watching a movie in general, so we'll see them recording shit, but we just never need to see
that. You're watching a movie about making a movie as opposed
to... Exactly, but we're never actually watching them making the movie because we're seeing everything.
Yeah. I see your point.
You get what I'm saying?
I get it. Yeah, that'd probably be a good... I would... guys, I'm with you overall on this. I think the movie will be much more clarified, much more intense, even probably if it'll.
I think more intense for sure. Yeah, I think there's like, not to that you can you I, music plays a big role in horror movies. I think right, score, sounds, and stuff like that, and they have the visuals down. They do a really good job, especially with the camera. Fucking up in certain things, or them zooming in on a thing, coming back to something. Like, did you see that? And I like,
oh, that was so probably classy.
A lot of the stuff that I like in the movie is like catching little things, and then the guy also catching it, and then showing you,
revealing it to you,
and then revealing it to you, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. So it wasn't like, just my imagination.
The same woman he knocked on the door in the beginning.
Right? That is exactly right, and that's done really well. And the movie does a lot of stuff. There's a lot of good stuff in the movie going on.
Yeah, but
don't get me wrong.
Yeah, and but I, you know, I'm with you guys 100%. And but I also like I overall agree with the movie did a good job at what it's trying to do, even though it wasn't our cup of tea in the execution.
Yeah,
it's just a weird. I'm in a weird place between both, like really liking it and really not liking it. But let's get into spoilers real quick for Notori the Curse, so we can speak briefly on this insanity. The insanity of the. Of the curse and all that. So starting right now. All right, so I want to mention that the way Kagutaba finally comes up in the movie and starts connecting the dots between, you know, Kana, the girl, the psychic girl, and that weirdo with the tinfoil, and then the more of the opening stuff with the woman in the woods, right, when they're capturing all that stuff. When they start connecting those dots with Kagutaba, it felt just the same, Roth. And I'm mentioning to Roth because he was with me a lot in the 90s when I saw this movie. It mentioned so much the way
I was.
The usual suspects would bring up Kaiser Soze in that movie. If you remember, Roth, in the movie, they bring up Kaiser Soze like an ethereal, kind of like demonic figure almost, right? And like a supernatural, like, you know, super secret kind of guy. And it doesn't come up until like almost halfway through the movie, seemingly. Not exactly, but like a third of the way or something. And he comes up out of nowhere. And then suddenly you're in this plot of Kaiser Soze is everywhere, right? And the same thing happened here with the mention of Kagutaba when the connection starts happening with this weird ritual from the 70s, and you start seeing the tape, right, from the ritual they were doing before it got turned into a reservoir or a dam or whatever. All that, I felt that the impact of that felt very good. And that's like, that was a part of the moment where like I was really laser focused into like what's going on. And I want to know, not just like I have to see it for the review. Like, you know, that's why I want.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is that when I watched it with headphones, that third time it was actually just this morning, to be brutally honest with you. I just had to wrap it up.
Yeah.
And I was watching it and had, I think I would have been a little bit more into it had my wife not fucking stood right in front of me going like, are you even listening to me? I'm like, no, of course not. I'm watching a fucking movie with headphones on. But I'm watching it and it did get really interesting. That second or the third leg of the movie is a really interesting plot. There's a lot of good stuff going on in there. And I did like it, but it's just like, man, everything else was just like, fuck. I felt like someone just dragged me through the mud. And I was like, fuck, dude. Yeah. Like, I got to live through this shit.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, yeah, that's the thing is that with me, I really loved it. And that's the thing is I really loved the second half of this movie. I was totally in love with it like by the end. So like, and I felt like one of those things, like it wowed me by the end. So like, I kind of forgive a lot of the other stuff that I had, you know, the beginning of the movie where I didn't like it so much. Some parts I even hated, like, Jesus Christ, get to the point already. Like, why are you showing me this girl? You were just showing me something else, right? Kind of feeling. And they don't seem to track. But I think the fact that everything, every single thing pays off, I give this movie a large pass overall, in my opinion. And I give it a pass. And I think it's a recommendable movie overall. I mean, for people who can sit down and watch a foreign movie and sit down and watch a foreign documentary movie that doesn't exist. So not very many people I can recommend it to. But yeah, is my point.
You should watch. You should read the reviews real quick on IMDb for this movie.
Oh, we'll have this. Yeah. I'm sure they have the same points, right? Probably.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who like really. It's like one of the best ones is like you're either really hate. Love or hate. It's like you find this really interesting or very boring. And I'm like, I mean, I can find them both. Don't get me wrong, which I do.
I found it both. Yeah, I found it both.
So. Yeah, I just one dominates the other, but yeah. Sadly.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, one the one that dominates is the other one that dominates for you, right? So the other one that doesn't for you.
Correct.
Yeah. So, but this Curse, though, it's a really cool kind of original. We've seen many kinds of these movies before or on TV shows. I'm pretty sure there's a few X-Files episodes like this to some degree or another.
Yeah.
The idea of some dark demonic force that is was completely placated for a long time, kind of has a Cabin in the Woods feel, because of this ritual that they would do, this townsfolk. And then when it got dammed over, the idea of the modern technology, the world changing, is affecting the supernatural world worse. Right,
it's you like, could say they were really damned.
Oh my god!
But, oh wow!
Oh my god!
Fucking leave now.
Who's the father in this group? Who's the father?
Right. Bro, just leave.
just fucking suck.
Log off, bro.
You love it. You love it.
No, I love it.
It's so bad. No, it was great. It was great.
I love just... yelling at you for it. It's the best part. So it's great. Anyway. Yeah, all that was super interesting. I loved it. It was such a cool thing. It's horrible. This is a bad ending kind of movie. I mean, not a bad ending, like it's a bad movie ending for me, but it's it's fucked up for everyone. No one makes it out alive, except for the production company that released the movie in the movie.
right.
Like the idea, like the, they but really
does
the film,
does the guy, does the camera guy make it alive?
I don't know.
I think
know.
He does.
The second guy? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean.
My favorite part probably was when they were like splicing between back and forth. This is after they did the ritual on top of the water on the boat. When they were both separated and they were both in the forest, but different parts of the forest, both camera people, right? The main camera dude and his side one. That was my favorite part, the way they intercut between both and they were showing the revelations of what's going on. And even then, when you don't have anything pieced together, the movie still goes on I'm like, why would you adopt that kid? Would you adopt that kid?
No fucking way.
That was my first thing. Lexi was next to me, not understanding what the hell was going on. I was like, why would you adopt this kid? And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, shut up. No one would adopt this kid. I would never adopt this kid. I don't care what he went through. As a matter of fact, I would adopt him less because of what he went through.
Cold-hearted Oscar.
Yes, yeah. Because they all died, Luke. They all died because he adopted the kid.
Except for him. Yeah, fuck that.
No, he's dead somewhere. You just haven't found him yet. He's in pieces somewhere or something.
He got damned.
Shut up. yeah, so like the second that happened, I'm like, okay, that's how he disappears. It has to be the kid. And man, the way that turned out when they showed that extra video, like they found the tape thing that was sent to him to the production company. I'm like, damn, that was insane. That was really good. I really liked it. I think it paid off everything really nicely and fucked up. And it was way better than Monster Party, in my opinion. So awesome. And I think that's all we have, unless you guys want to mention something else or talk about a specific point, mayhaps.
Nah.
I don't know. I just thought it was kind of creepy that she was stealing embryos. From like
dude, that was
backdoor abortions and just to fucking eat them.
Yeah. Well, no, she fed them. Well, not to the eat girl.
Them to feed them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's even fucking crueler. There's
some grotesque ass shit that could happen in this movie if they actually did a good job of doing it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like Japan isn't known for showing that kind of stuff. It does.
No, Japan gives no fucks.
they don't give no fucks.
If anything, this is tame for them.
Fucking shit. Right? Yeah, comparatively, probably. Yeah. All right, so that's our review of Notary the Curse. We're going to take the last break here before we go on to our third review, which is going to be 1931's M, the letter M. Check it out. Stay with us.
Beep. das sollst du doch nicht. Du weißt doch warum.
Someone is murdering children in a German town. The police are doing all they can to solve the case, but after several months, several murders, and exhausting work, still have no clues. Their methods of trying to find the murderer start to adversely affect the local criminal community. Due to this, the local organized crime syndicates take it upon themselves to find the murderer and mete out their punishment. This is M from 1931, directed by the late great, obviously, he's dead now, Fritz Lang, written by Fritz Lang and Thea von Harbo. T. von Harbo, I can't do German names. And this movie starts the late and great Peter Lorre, who we saw recently in a small cameo almost appearance in Casablanca, Roth, if you remember from early on in this marathon.
No, I do. That's what I was like, man, why did he look so familiar? Then I looked him up and I was like, fucking Casablanca.
Yeah, Casablanca, that's right. Ellen Whitman, Ingrid Landgut, Otto Wernicke. Man, I'm really bad
with this. Sure, sure. Yep, bad.
I'm going to stop there. Fritz Odermore, Paul Kemp. Paul Kemp, I could say. This is a German, not a silent movie. You know, it could have been, but it's almost nearly a silent movie. It's made by a silent movie director, but this is a speaky movie. What do they call it?
Oh, is that what they call
talkie.
It?
Huh? Talkie. There you go. A talkie in black and white. So, 1931. I'm going to start off this time, and what I think of this movie is that it's surprisingly pretty good. I liked it. You think of a movie that old, having seen movies like Seven or Mindhunter or something, you know, movies of the same caliber done differently and make them much more intricate, right? It's you can't help yourself but compare. But I think it does stand alone as its own creepiness goes in, and the movie does a great service to the story by kind of doing the Jaws effect of like keeping the shark away as much as possible, bringing the killer on when they need to. And that adds to a level of like the guy's elusiveness, the serial killer who's out killing little girls. The movie opens and ends pretty. I think the whole time it's a really great story, and I think it's well told. And the plot never gets convoluted. Everything kind of sets the wheels forward as far as setting the stage, because the first bit of the movie. And by the way, no, this is not going to be like a spoiler session for this old ass movie. I'm going to just say that now.
It's only like 90 years old or 89.
Right. So maybe if it was 90, it'd be fine, right? So I really liked the movie. And I'm not going to say the whole thing out, but I really enjoyed it. Peter Lorre, it's very creepy. The whole, large sections of this movie are kind of creepy. But a lot of it is also just like, police work is actual, or even criminal work. Like a lot of it's like people hashing out ideas, like in rooms, like the brainstorming session, something you don't really see a lot, even in stuff today. Usually there are like one-off little 30-second scenes in movies today where, so they could just get to the next set piece. But this one, they actually really hash it out as to what these people are trying to do to get this guy and bring everyone's, everyone's to safety, I guess, so the children can feel safe and life can go on finally, And I think the whole movie does a good job also of explaining how this killer has put a stranglehold on this town, that this town feels like it cannot get past it. Everyone, it is affecting the economy, essentially. And it's kind of interesting, the effect or the impact that one man can have, right? And I think this movie handles that all really well and surprisingly well, too. So that's how I feel about M. Roth, what did you feel? What did you think of him?
I'll probably mirror most of your comment there, just to steal your thunder. But I liked it, man. I thought it was cool movie. The only thing I did get lost in one of the parts where I guess because there's two entities trying to go after this murderer, right? Mm-hmm. And I didn't get what the other entity was. I know the cops. I didn't get who exactly they were. And that was like, I think I got it, which was just kind of criminals. But I never really understood if it was like a specific brand of criminal. Because it was like really weird how they kind of like met up with each other and introduced themselves and stuff like that. So I was kind of confused in that aspect. Okay. But overall, I like how the movie is really about them. We don't have to have Peter Lorre's character, what's called Hans Beckard, right? I think his name is in the movie.
Yeah.
He's only really in the second half of the movie. He's there in some parts of the beginning of the movie, but really it's all about figuring out who this guy is. And we don't have to, even for us, the audience, we don't know who that person is.
Yeah.
And that's really cool about the movie, that the movie does a really good job in that aspect. Yeah, but overall, I think it's a really cool, like, trying to figure it out from both ways, from both, like, one as a detective, right? Cops, and trying to figure them out. And then having, like, your common people trying to figure out and doing it, the legwork on their aspect as well. And it's a really cool to use the homeless people. Network. Yeah, that was really, really smart and a really cool idea.
Has a John Wick quality to the homelessness of it, like everyone's working together.
Right, yeah, very much so. It's like the whole town is working together. It's not just, you know, what you think we considered, like, oh, I didn't even know anything about that. You say, like, the town's really been in it, and you're like, what are you talking about? I didn't hear anything about this. And you're part of the town. You're like,
right.
And this aspect, it did feel like that. It did feel like everybody was part of it. Yeah. It affected everybody a lot, you know. And then, like, the whole, like, simple things of the movie does. But, yeah, I had fun with the movie, and it was a good movie.
Yeah. Look.
Oh, man. That was one fucking crazy intro to that movie, I'll tell you that much.
What was the intro again?
So it's like the mom waiting for Elise and, you know.
Oh, that's right. They're singing that song, yeah, right?
For sure.
And then she's like walking with the ball and just fucking playing. And I'm like, okay, you know. And then like, see like the guy kind of like the shadow hovering over her. And
the whistling.
Dude, that was like one of the darkest like shit I've seen, and I didn't think they made movies this dark back then.
No, they did. There's a lot of like this, actually, surprisingly. They just can't show it, obviously, like the way we can't show it today if they want to. But like the implications is more than enough that you need, right, to be creepy.
Right. It's, I was like, holy fuck. Like I was like, I felt stupid watching it. I'm like, oh my, like, yeah, I looked over at Ralph. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
right.
Yeah.
This is not what I'm expected, you know, in these old timey movies and shit.
Well, that song is creepy as fuck.
The Hall of the Mountain King?
Yeah. I mean, that song in itself is not, like, it's particularly dark or anything like that, but the guy makes it dark. You know, the movie makes it,
right,
like, an ominous, like, card, right, or tell-all or something. Yeah, that's what it does. Yeah, I'm glad. But what did you think as the movie progressed, like, the whole thing after Luke?
Took a lighter tone, finally.
Well, yeah, it's more investigative, I mean, right? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely more investigative. I'm pretty sure there were like some new techniques that they were trying to do. I think they were trying to like fingerprinting or the analysis for the handwriting and things like that.
Yes, they relied more on that kind of stuff. Like they were looking for like a specific wood, right, and a specific pencil, right. The things that they were looking for also remind me of the things that we look for now. Now we look for particulars and fibers and hair samples and saliva,
right. Semen.
God forbid, right? That kind of thing. I don't know if he was doing that to the girls before he killed them.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, why would you go there, dude?
Well, the thing is that the movie doesn't
fuck you
anything. The movie tells you that he kills them only. The specifics of what he does and why they're disappeared for so long before they're found. All that stuff implies that your imagination is worse than what the movie can tell you in that sense.
Probably.
That's why I think the movie works in that way, too, is what I'm saying. Is that it could be that. That's the thing. It could be whatever fucked up thing you think of. I mean, as far as a horror movie goes. But yeah, I really like the investigative stuff. And I understand that scene you were talking about when they introduced all the criminals of the town, right, or of the area. And I understood it completely. The whole thing was a visual thing, obviously. And yeah. it took me a minute to understand what was going on. But I understood that every time there's like a person in that room enters or they're talking to each other, they're all exhibiting different types of criminals. They're like it's almost like a union. Like one's for lumber, one's for construction. I don't know what the union's work is, but you know what I'm saying. Like the one's for plumbing, one's for whatever. And this, like, when he starts pulling out the watches, like, okay, he's the pickpocket. He is the pickpocket king,
yeah, no,
or whatever. And then he
represents all the pickpockets. So that's what I thought it was, and I really did. I was like, oh, these are all just criminals, right? But
yeah,
the way they were talking, it was like, oh man, this is affecting our business. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I was like, do they mean like they can't pickpocket or they can't do like steal shit? And I was like, or is it like, are these guys like just,
it's like they picked a lane. They all picked a lane, right?
I just didn't know if it was all like together, right, or if it was just like a group of criminals in general, or if it was, and then, you know, I came to the realization later, don't get me wrong, it's just the beginning when we're introducing them. Maybe I like blinked and I didn't see that quick introduction of everybody. But you know, it is very simple. It is very like one's just doing sleight of hand and one is doing something else. But I maybe it just didn't translate in my brain to me. Yeah. Whatever the case was.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't have like a genre for every one of the genre. That's not the right term. I don't have like a type of criminal for each one of them, but some of them are really obvious. Like you think of the homeless network, and you think of the pickpocket. You think of the guy who is like the plan guy, like the heist guy, the main guy, right? He's like the heist guy, right? You could tell he's the guy who contracts heists and stuff like that. And there's a guy who robs banks only or robs safes, right? The safe cracker or that guy, or whatever. You know, they all. It's an interesting way to like bring like leaders of a syndicate or organization of criminals of the underbelly of the town or the city in a way that isn't one thing. Like nowadays, or way too often, when we see criminals act this way, you know, when they're introduced in any way like this, they're usually mob. Always mob or gang. It's one or the other. It's never really told like this. These people are like colleagues in the same sense that they're all criminals, but they're not with each other. And that's the first time I've ever seen it quite put that way. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you know, they're a part of the only thing they have in common is that they break the law and they know not to rat on each other, but they're not a part of anything other than that, you know?
Yeah. It's just the way they met, you know, it almost felt like, this is our annual meeting, like I guess, meeting, you know,
yeah,
like,
no, it was like a call to action meeting. Yeah.
Right. And they were clearly waiting for the leader, right? There is a leader in this.
Yeah.
And I guess it is the mastermind, the guy who makes up all the plans. And obviously we find out later that he's also committed murder, right?
Yes, apparently. Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting. I thought that was really kind of a cool way. It's almost like, what's the opposite?
The Who's Who, yeah.
What's the Justice League? The opposite of them? Legion of Doom, is that what they're called?
Yeah, Legion of Doom.
Thank you. It's like Legion of Doom. But much more realistic. And I really liked how...
No Cheetar?
No, no Cheetar. Okay. I really liked how the movie, you know, really spends a lot of time on both sides of the law for one goal, you know? And... you know, by the time it's all said and done and all the investigative stuff is happening and they have their plan, both parties have a good plan that lead to the results. It's just that who gets to the guy first. And the movie adds this other layer of tension or suspense to the serial killer aspect, because you don't know who's going to get to him first. And you find out that they both get to them, actually, not in one sitting, but like they both get to the guy in their own time. And so, like, the movie kind of pays off both versions of what you think might happen. And I think that's kind of interesting and kind of cool when you think of, like, when you might sit there and be on one side. You know, like, the police have to catch him. They have to turn him to the police. That's what they should do. Or I want the police to catch him first. I don't want the criminals to kill him off easy. Or the other way around. Maybe the criminals would give him justice where the police wouldn't. They would just put him in a jail cell or whatever.
Right. Well, I think it does a really good job of that at the end of the movie, for sure, where they're like holding a trial for him.
Right. Now, that part got a little silly for me, honestly.
Yeah, it did. But at the same time, it is something like it's just funny how it's like it was silly to the point that why even have a trial, right? But is also it was like people are getting the right people are getting him, because the cops, he's just gonna do like an insanity plea, and then he's gonna live, and this motherfucker shouldn't be allowed to live, right? Mm-hmm. He's killing children. Like, what the fuck? Like, nobody. Like, everyone knows, like, that's, like, the biggest taboo. Like, basically, like, everybody else has done everything else in there, you know, except for kill children. Like, it was just fucking the one thing you don't do, even in the criminal underworld.
Right. It's one of those things, like, if you're, like, a child molester in prison, they get you harder because that's, like, one worse thing than they do, right, or something?
Yeah, exactly, right? And it's like, this guy should fucking be killed. And everyone's, like, part of it, you know? Everyone's, like, in it. And there's like the general public and the criminals, and like it's really weird. It's a really weird thing, but at the same time, it's like justifying for them, you know.
Yeah. What do you think about this, Luke?
Oh man, I don't get a chance to talk. Jesus.
Ooh. Just interject yourself.
So we were just getting excited. So.
Well, in a split second when you know Oscar stops talking, you go right in. So it's like, oh, well, I don't want to cut him off.
You can just be like, shut up.
Well, that's why I'm the mediator. So
shut up and sit down, you big bald fuck.
Yes.
I'm not bald.
Dennis Farina.
Shut up, I know. You and your luscious mane.
Yeah, you're going to get bald. I mean, aren't you already? I don't know.
Who, me?
No, Luke.
Oh, I was like, well, I'm not getting bald. What are you talking about?
You're not getting bald. I know you're not getting bald.
Back to this movie.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, so the whole kangaroo court thing was fucking nuts. But I mean, it's a whole thing where it's like, it's the people and they're acting on pure emotion at that point. You know, they just want to see him dead and to suffer. There's no like rhyme or logic to their things. They're just like, hey, he did this. Let's just fucking off him. And that's pure instinct. You know, it's not a court of law. It's not being judged by, you know, like a fair jury or anything like that, or a fair judge. And I'm surprised that lawyer actually like tried to defend him in any way or shape or form. It seemed like everyone wanted to fucking gut the fucker.
The self-made defender. Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah.
But he actually tried defending him. He actually was like,
and I was surprised he actually did it. Like at first he was very like, eh, whatever. But then he's like, look, obviously he might need some help or this. And you know, so it's crazy.
Well, I think he himself said, like, you're not getting out of this, like, in the beginning when he first introduced himself. Like, yeah, I'm your appointed jury, like, a judge or what's it called, a lawyer, but I don't think I can help you.
Well, he's not going to go free, so, but there's obviously going to be consequences. And it's like, do we just let mob rule kind of mentality thing, you know? Or do we actually try to go the proper way with the police in a real trial?
Well, that's the thing is that the movie, the thing that makes this movie really profound and probably Sight and Sound top 100 worthy or whatever, or for a lot of people anyway, and now I'm thinking more for me too, it's a good movie, is that it brings up those questions. It literally shows you all the sides of mob rule, and then in that, you know, kangaroo court, as you put it, look, they bring up the questions of, you know, why don't we let the mothers decide, because that would be like revenge. Right, that'll be revenge.
Right.
Yep. And I think of that scene in The Hateful Eight, which I know you know, Ralph, because you mentioned it recently to me. That scene where the hangman, or the self-proclaimed hangman in the movie, if you haven't seen it, he's fake. He's talking about the different kinds of justices that exist in the frontier times where they're living in the Wild West, right? One is the revenge, right, which is called, I forget what he calls it. And then the other one's mob rule, which is like, you know, a group of people band together to find the one person and they hang him for it. That's called mob justice. And that the real justice is the fact that he doesn't care one way or the other, the hangman for the court. I mean, he doesn't care one way or the other if you did it or not, that he's there to unpassionately hang you for something that you were assigned to, right? So something that you did. And those differences are put in this movie writ large. You know, instead of one conversation, it's just the whole movie really sets up that whole thing, and it forces the viewer to ask those questions and then make your own decision. Because we would all have different points of view of this, or it's possible for us to have different points of view, because a lot of people would have still today different opinions as to what should be done with a criminal like this or someone who's done this. You know, there is no right real way. There's just what's right for you. And,
well.
Right.
Yeah, there's a. I mean, yeah, right. I guess I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
The movie, that is what the movie kind of is saying, but
yeah. I mean, it ends with the real victims, you know, because the movie ends in a good way, and it ends abruptly for me, because I don't know if it ended abruptly for you guys.
No, it does end up very abruptly. We're like, that's it.
Yeah, right. It felt like we're like, okay, I know I got everything, but that's it. Damn, I just came out of nowhere.
The whole way fades to black.
Yeah, the way.
Yeah. All of you.
But ultimately, like, I really love that ending, because it shows you the real, like, the people who are really affected by it are those mothers sitting outside the courthouse after the sentence has been passed, even though it's been passed, you know, that he's guilty and all that. It's been passed that, and they're the ones who didn't get to have a say in it. You know what I'm saying? They're the court law had got to say, and the police did, and the criminals did, the mob, but not them. And who does, in the movie, then again asks you the final question, who actually deserves to meet this man justice? And by giving you the group of people who did not get to have a say or the opportunity to take out their justice on Hans, on the murderer. And I think that's a really good way to end it. It's kind of dark and it's fucked up, obviously, but like, it's a really cool way to end that. I really like that. I don't know if you guys felt the same way. As something falls in the background.
Right. Sorry. Yeah.
That's all right. I mean, do you guys see what I'm saying on that?
Yeah. I mean, overall, it's like, hey, whatever we do, our kids ain't coming back. I mean,
yeah. Well, yeah, that's,
do we, yeah. Do we like, I mean, you can kill the man. It's not going to help you. You can let him rot in jail. That's another thing. It's like, preferably I let him rot in fucking jail. That's just me though. Cause yeah. It's a longer thing. It's, you're going to be there for a really long time and it's going to be miserable for you. Whereas, you know, a couple volts to the head and you're dead. I don't know. Did they have the electric chair back then?
I want to say yes.
I don't know.
I want to say yes. I'm pretty sure, but don't quote me on that. Yeah.
Death by firing squad, maybe, you know.
Firing squad, you think? I think some places still have firing squad for sure. I don't know if, I don't think we ever did that though in America. I mean, in the revolution times, I think so, but that was a long time ago.
I don't know. It's never been my strong thing.
It's okay. I know a little bit, but I don't know that much. One other thing that'd be kind of cool to talk about is, when we start seeing his method and, like, when we, you know, when he starts, on that girl before they put the letter M on him. And that was interesting how that happened, because you never know the whole time why the movie's called M until you see his code, right? The mark.
Right, yeah.
It's like the scarlet letter, right, with the A.
Has it seen never it? Seen it or read it, but I know of it.
Yeah, you know, everyone knows of it, right? No one's ever seen it or read it, but everyone knows it. That's the only one I read. I tried reading another one of Nathaniel Hawthorne's books, and I can't. I can't do it. He's too boring for me. But I did read that one. Yeah, and it's fucked up. It's like it's really interesting how they get to him, like the blind guy with the balloons, and it seems like happenstance, but it also seems like a matter of time. And I really liked how they're showing the process of the serial killer before he kills his victims. At the same time, they're showing the proficiency of this town getting him back, and that was a really cool way to do both in one sitting, like in one scene per scene. And the way they locked down that building. The way they fucking got in there fast and then got out fast. I mean, they forgot the one guy, of course, which you know, I mean, they're trying to get out fast, so it happens. But that was all really, 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 really cool. And very tension. Very tense heavy, I mean. What did you think of all that stuff, Luke, before when they were catching him?
Oh, that was pretty awesome. And I'm pretty sure, like, has some of this stuff obviously has been used in other movies or like, spoofed off. Because there's a couple, like, scenes that I remember, like, I've seen this, but in another context.
Possibly. You know, I'm positive you're right, and it does ring a bell in my head, the visuals, like in other stuff.
And like, there's like this like top-down shot where there's like three of them like in a corner, and he's just like in the side, and he's like trying to book it and shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that looks so familiar.
Yeah. No, it really does, and I can't put my finger on it, whether it's a spoof that I've seen in like a satire, or if
I just saw that scene in something else.
Right, and they just like homaged it or something. Or stole it or copied it, whatever you want to call it. You're right. I don't know, though.
But as far as when they were like trying to chase him down, though, holy shit, did they fucking wreck that building.
Yeah.
They did.
Like, everything got just fucked. Like, these guys were thorough. It's not like, oh, I'm just going to check here. No, I'm going to destroy this to make sure he's not in this
door.
Teapot.
Let's go through the top office and break through the wall or through the floor to get through this door. Yeah, imagine if they were there to steal the place, everything would be gone. Everything would be gone. They would have trucks ready and stuff. They're really smart criminals. They're very efficient criminals working right there. More than you would imagine, anyway. But very, very good stuff there. I really like that. I really like the Mark M on him too. Makes it more memorable. Makes the whole movie experience more memorable in a weird way.
There was a little fear also that they were going to lose him. The little girl's like, you have something written on you,
right?
Yeah. And like, shut up, you're not. Let me like wipe it off. And I was like, no, little girl. Like, no. Obviously she doesn't know,
right?
But there's a moment of tension where you're like, oh shit, she could possibly like
help this guy
fucking commit this murder. So.
Yeah. Yeah, sending her own death warrant. She almost did. I liked how the cops were so close. They were staking his place out. They were so close. He just had to walk back home. But it does seem like he was doomed no matter what he was going to do.
My thing is, like, didn't the parents tell these kids, like, hey, if a guy tries to buy you a balloon or give you candy,
they probably
get the fuck away?
They probably did. Maybe not all of them. Maybe
the children. Or is he that charismatic?
Yeah, I mean, candy and balloons. Why not, right? I mean, they didn't have fucking, you know, other kinds of toys. I mean, they had dolls and shit, but like, you know, they didn't have, I don't know. It's just, maybe it was just enticing. It's enticing enough, you know? I don't know what to tell you. It's like grapes. When you think of grapes from those old stories from centuries ago, how grapes were such a rare thing that having like one grape would be like the equivalent of a rich man's meal. You know, it's just at different times. I don't know.
Like Jack the Ripper?
Yeah, like Jack the Ripper, or like think of think of those old Egyptian times where they're feeding you the grapes with the fans and shit. Yeah, kind of like a rare delicacy that's so common now. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It's just the times, I guess. So I have to bite the bullet on that one. But yeah, I think that's, I mean, that's all I got on them. Anything else you guys want to mention or talk about in reference to like how it's like, I mean, this is a lot. I'm not saying it's the first serial killer movie, but it's one of the first. And it's awesome that it's great. I love that it's a good one that, you know, usually when you see the first of its kind, of this kind of movie, of subgenres or genres that we know so well now, it usually they're bad. Or usually they're like, okay, they're clunky as fuck, or, you know, they're starting off. It's always, you know, it's so basic, right, or whatever. But this movie kind of holds up in relation to, like, when you think of other kinds of movies of their first of their kind. But I really liked how this one worked out better. Do you guys agree with that overall as far as serial killer movies go?
Top notch.
Yeah.
Needs one gore, though.
Well, yeah, they're not going to have that. They didn't even have one blood. Oh, no, some of them were scraped, right? Yeah, it's a little bit of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all right. So that's it for our review of M. And that is it for our show. You have been this whole time listening to another movie podcast. You can always follow our show. You can send feedback to our show at podmoviecast at gmail.com.
What are we reviewing next time?
Not there yet. You know how I do this. What the fuck? Why are you fucking this up?
I forgot.
You forget or you're fucking with me because I can't tell.
I legit forgot.
The audience can't tell either, by the way. Anyway, Jesus. You can follow me on Twitter and on Letterboxd for my movie watching habits over on Armin Filmmaker, which is filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Luke?
At Slothmaster Luke.
Jesus Christ, Luke. Buff?
At Don Rafael, _ in between, somewhere.
Somewhere, that's right. Now, we are a biweekly show, so every other weekend we come out. Next time, Luke, you're choosing the movies. Where are they?
Yes, we are going to go back to Amazon Prime with two movies that just came out in May.
Blow the Woman?
I know nothing. Huh?
Blow the Woman Down?
No. Okay. The Vast of Night and Seberg.
Oh, that's the one with that girl from Twilight.
Kristen Stewart. I don't know.
Kristen Stewart.
Oh, okay.
Seabird.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it took me a moment to remember her name.
With the face, yes, her.
With the face.
So those will be the two movies, yes.
A lot of actors have faces these days. All right, Seberg, and what was the other one again?
The Vast of Night.
The Vast of Night. I've not heard of it. I don't know nothing.
Yeah, like I said, I know nothing about them. They're just like the two latest ones that I think that came out. So that's what I'm going to go for.
Awesome.
All right.
I like the way you do it. I mean, it's random. It's going to be random as fuck, probably.
Yeah. Then
it's great. I love it.
It is.
I love it.
And for a Sight and Sound Marathon, y'all going to kill me.
What? Nah.
Dr. Zhivago?
We are doing Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh.
Wait, is that on there?
Is that a box of sand?
It is on there. The 4-hour epic.
It is a
4-hour motherfucker.
It is. There's an intermission drop. Don't worry about it.
Oh, my God.
I think that one has a legit intermission, actually. I think it does.
Why would you do this?
Yeah, I don't know why he would do that to you. But actually,
I need to see this movie.
I really want to see this movie again. So I'm down for it. I remember liking it, but I also was a teenager. I didn't understand much of it. So I would love to see it again. Thank you. I'm great. I'm good for it. But it is a 4-hour tome, and we will not see it in one sitting, probably. but that's great. Lawrence of Arabia. Where is it available? Is it available anywhere?
It's on iTunes, and that's where I'm going to purchase it.
Got it. I was just curious if it was like streaming somewhere. All right.
It might be. You know, I should double check that. I have a tendency to buy movies.
You know, I have that Just Watch app. Kind of tells you where everything's streaming. You want me to check it for you?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll just do that off air.
That's right. We could just do it off air. I don't know why I'm deciding to do it right now. So until then, in 2 weeks, I am Oscar.
And Luke.
And Ralph.
See you later.
Look, everything in this world is running exactly on schedule. Besides, to leave, we probably have to wait until the movie's over or something.
Well, when is that going to happen?